What's up, gang? What's up, y'all? Episode 4 has arrived. We are in episode 4 of the broadcast. This is the Joshua Capellan Show. I am Joshua Capellan. You already know what we do. If you don't, this is a show about different topics of what I like, of what I feel like doing. I'll lower the mic a little bit. And, you know, mainly the main concept of this is more wrestling talk. I do mix in music talk when there's music news, which there will be today, and music conversations more in the lines of like hip hop and pop culture and mostly those things like that, R&B. On top of that, we will have a more music centric like show coming later. I have that in the works. Patreon is up now. The Patreon is up. It's going to be on the description in the link below. So, and then we're on Apple, we're on iHeart, we're on Spotify. The show is kind of getting its reach now. Now it's more along the lines of getting people to listen, right? And hopefully you guys, if you're listening to this episode, you guys will love this episode as well. A couple people have been listening to the past few episodes and looking at the clips on YouTube and everything. I try to get it up as soon as I can. Mondays and Thursdays are when the episodes will go up. I usually record the day before or 2 days before, depending on how everything goes. And then, yeah, so that's kind of the introduction. We're still on episode 4, so I think I have to give a little bit more introductions as we keep growing the base. Everyone who has subscribed, I appreciate that. Everyone who has followed the X, especially. Wise 91.1 is going to be more of a news source, but we will be putting up clips of this thing. And Wise 91.1 mainly is just like the hub of where all of these content is going to be. And I'm part of Wise 91.1. Just a little quick thing about me. I was never in the business or anything. This is just, like I said, first episode. I'm just a man with a mic right now and just speaking what I speak. So that's what majority is there is a sprinkle of gaming news. We'll talk about that later and then we'll get into some topics. Mainly you guys will see the clips first probably, and then like gravitates to the full like broadcast. So like the full episode. So, you know, come hang out with us, cause see what it is. If not, just check out the clips. If you don't want to stick around for 2 hours. Clips are usually like 5 minutes or something. So we got some news. We got some new things. And we've got some topics. So we're going to dive first into Saturday night's main event last night. It did happen. We're going to talk about a little bit more some wrestling reporting. WrestleMania is no longer New Orleans. So we'll talk about that. In more music like life news, entertainment news. Kid Cudi did testify against Diddy, so we'll give our thoughts on that. Joey Badass won the West Coast beef, so we'll give some, well, but West Coast rap battle, so we'll give some topics about that. We'll dive a little bit more into some wrestling news. We'll talk about Kanye West not wanting to be anti-Semitism anymore. We might get to SmackDown, depending. I might give some like notes on SmackDown and just more things that, you know, come across later on. I don't think there's going to be any gaming news, but if they are, we'll talk about it, whatever comes, forward. So first thing we're going to get into is going to be like what happened at Saturday night's main event, right? It was last night. I don't think there was no new titles transferred over. It kind of felt like it could have been a skippable show. I don't see anything you need to go back to watch for. It doesn't seem like it's a. It was just kind of a skippable show to me. And the thing is, they feels like they tried to rush a lot of things in 2 hours, and they couldn't make it like a full PLE. They have to like rush so. Some matches didn't go as long as I thought it would. And in some angles happened way too fast. So, yeah. So, let's get more into what's happening. So, right now, we had Jesse Ventura come back. I think he's just doing all the Saturday night's main events. He seems to be commentating on, like, one match. per night, per one, per those Saturday night like main event nights. And when we get to where he was commentating, it was pretty funny. It was a pretty good part. So they kind of introduced him a little bit more. And it seems, I was kind of surprised, but not really. I was wondering who was going to open the show. I thought it would be the World Heavyweight title match. I literally thought they were going to put the R-Truth and John Cena match at the end. But they opened with Seth and Punk, which is like the Seth tag team and the Punk tag team with Sami Zayn and with Braun Breaker. So they opened the show. They jump start during the match. And, you know, it was a fun match. It's not going to be like, it felt like just a regular tag match, but with just like these high level guys and like these main eventers. It was, you know, there was shenanigans, but I guess it was kind of like more of going towards the angle at the end. That's kind of where it was kind of building to. The match was all right in itself. I do think there's a lot of ads. There's a lot of ads just sprinkled through the show. Just every 5 minutes, I felt like there was an ad. It was getting annoying when it was like during some of the matches, right? Like there was just a lot of ad breaks during this match, like the Seth and Punk and the Sami Zayn and Braun Breaker, like the tag match, right? A lot of ads there. I did like that Lillian Garcia is back too. So, like I said, nostalgia hits. So I kind of like hearing her. It was a good tag match. I did like Sami's springboard to the outside of the ropes. I think Sami's seems like he's getting a little bit more athletic. And he might be losing a little weight too. So he's doing a lot more of the high flying again. He was very impressive in this match. It was a lot of his wrestling that was really good. Punk is good too. Nothing was wacky or anything. It's more serious. So, you know, these guys know how to work. It was a fun match. Braun is the future. You know, he's very, very athletic as well. Very strong. But that kid kind of just felt like a regular tag match until the end angle. So the end angle, we got Bronson Reed that returned. He returned during the match. He cost Punk the match and Sami Zayn. And then they, you know, he gets together. He looks like he's going to beat up Seth. And then Seth goes and hugs him. And now we've got the new man in the group. And I do like Bronson Reed. I'm guessing on Raw they're going to tell us why the last angle we seen him was him being the crap out of Seth. Well, we seen him last when he broke his leg in, or he even messed up his leg in the War Games match. But, you know, him and Seth had a feud before he got injured. So now hopefully they explain that very well, which I'm fine with. I like Bronson Reed in this faction. We did talk about maybe it was going to be Austin Theory, but maybe two big guys is not bad. I'm guessing they do have two big guys, but like Braun Breaker is more upper level main event. Seth is the star, and then Bronson Reed, with all due respect, is kind of mid-cardish. So he can like, you have all these different classes that can dominate, and then this big faction, right? So I think there's no more people that's needed. If you're going to have another person, probably have the young guy. Make it like a four-man group if you want to. But I think Seth and the two big guys he's got are pretty good. And Paul Heyman knows how to manage big guys, man. So, you know, I do like where the faction's going. I like where the group's going. And Bronson Reed, man, he's good. He's a big guy. He's got his finisher's over with me. It's good. So let's see what happens as we continue on through there, right? So overall, it's a decent match. I'd probably give it like a 3 out of 5. And that's because it's an average match, right? So, and that's what it is. And Bronson Reed came back. So 3, 2.5-ish, 3-ish. I'd probably 3 in the middle. Next, we had the United States title going. And it was Chelsea Green versus Zelina. And I've already said Zelina, babyface Zelina is just not getting over with me. They need to turn her heel if they really want some momentum behind her. Chelsea Green and Kathy Kelly, when they went into the segment, it was pretty funny because they were just like standing there and then like waited for their like cue. So it was pretty funny. But The match was just a match. There wasn't a lot of exciting matches on this card. I am not going to lie to you. This match was kind of thrown at the end, and they threw it in on SmackDown, in case you didn't see it. And Zelina needs to get better in the ring, or if she's not going to get better in the ring, I keep saying we have to turn her heel. She botched a 619 and I guess busted Chelsea's nose. And here's what I do. I'd give it a 2. It's just not an exciting match. I do like both people. I think Chelsea's got a lot of charisma. I think Zelina's got a lot of charisma too, but like Chelsea gets cheered by the heel marks in the crowd. So it kind of takes away from, and then the babyface gets booed. So if the way they need to do is have Chelsea be kind of like a face, and then like Chelsea's green's got like that Tiffany Stratton treatment from the crowd, and she's like a face, and then they don't boo Zelina, they just don't react. And I think it's because it's a little hard to believe like her wrestling is good, is not, she can improve, she has been a little bit improving, but still not there. And they need to just turn her heel or take the title off her and put it to someone else. And she took the pin on SmackDown. So the champion in that match lost. So I don't think she is weird. Like she doesn't have like that much momentum going in. So other than that, it was just a regular match. My favorite match of the night was not this one. I thought it would be, right? The next thing they go to is the steel cage match, right? Oh no. I thought it was going to be the steel cage match. The next one they go to was John Cena and R-Truth, and I thought this was going to be the main event. But I see why it wasn't the main event, and we'll talk about it later. The next one was R-Truth and John Cena. I really enjoyed this match. It didn't go longer than it was supposed to. It did its job as the kind of like the whole gimmick of R-Truth was like, he was trying to bring back the old Cena, so he just did all his moves. He kind of like showed like the mirror of John Cena, and it was entertaining. I'd say that it wasn't supposed to be like a good match. I guess you know John Ruin, the Ruin Wrestling gimmick, the 36 dates gimmick that's what he is. He's trying to ruin wrestling, so it kind of goes with the hey, we're just watching this to be entertained thing. And you're right. He's right on everything he says. Like a lot of entertainment is happening in the WWE as opposed to wrestling. So this kind of like is like meta, and it goes to what he's saying and what's going on. But like John Cena comes out. He comes out in his the regular attire. The heel entrance. Not caring. And then R-Truth comes out with John Cena's entrance, and he comes out like the old Cena. He does the run to the ring. He talks in the camera. He does all that like that. And this was a non-title match, so I was actually thinking that maybe somebody, Truth might get a roll-up then, and then they try to do something like that. But nah, I also, the back of my mind, knew that was going to happen, right? Said if it was going to, it would have, but it didn't happen. Then R-Truth comes to the ring, and Cena just starts attacking him. And it was a very fun match. I'd probably give it a 3 out of 5. The funny thing is there. I'm gonna tell you the funny thing later, but R-Truth, I guess he's just using all John Cena's moves, and then Cena's moving, using the same moves, but it's like the heelish version. But there was a point where Cena's just like, fuck it, and I'm going to go get the title. He go get the title, and he's holding the title in the ring, right? He's about to hit him. He's about to hit R-Truth, and the ref just stands there like a corpse. he's just letting it happen. He's just, you know, the ref is supposed to go over there and stop Cena from using the belt. But the ref just like an idiot, like a corpse, just stands there, just like, oh, I'm just gonna let it happen, and just disqualify him. Like, that's not what a ref is supposed to do, man. It's not. So he continues and he's about to hit him with the bell, and then he stops and looks at Truth, and I guess they're still teasing the Cena face turn, which I think they're doing it pretty well, because he's got to turn face by the end of the year. So, and then the little tease there, he gives the ref the belt to like put it away, and then he hits him with he does a nut shot on him, pins him, and that's it. So he turns heel right at the end of the match. The referee is just there watching, but the referee didn't see the nut shot, but he just stands there as he's about to like disqualify himself. Like, you would think the ref would go up there and be like, no, just stop. And then at the end, he hits him with the title anyway. So then he gets a heel reaction, and that's the match. And the match was fun to watch. It was not one of the best, not one of the best matches. It's not really much things that happened. It was nice and quick. Did his job, and that's what it was. It was just to get Cena on the card. Later on, we see John Cena talk with Jey Uso, and they're setting up an angle for later on, saying, "Hey, yo, Logan Paul wins, my plan for ruining world wrestling is going through." Right? So he's telling Jey Uso, look, we would, a YouTuber and me as champions, wrestling is ruined. And I like this whole angle they're going with, like that. Like, he, like, I like that he turned into, like, I like the character he turned into. Like, hey, I'm going to ruin wrestling forever or something like that. It kind of gives some stakes on, like, what later on can happen. Because I think it's like a slow burn. For like the peak of what his character has turned into, but when we get there. That's one thing I do like about Triple H's booking. There's a lot of slow burns. Like you just really gotta let it play out. So let's see what happens there. We go into the steel cage match, which I believe and I thought was going to be the best match of the night. And is it? Because the bar wasn't set too high. But then I hated the ending. I thought everybody was good. Jesse Ventura, he did join commentary, and he's like, "Hey guys, listen." I guess he's just gonna say whatever he fucking cares about. And I love Jesse Ventura got real over with me in this match, and I honestly did not know he was governor of Minnesota. When they would call him a governor, I thought it was just a gimmick. But I didn't know he was actually the governor of Minnesota back in 1999. I had to look that up. I was like, why do they keep calling him a governor? And, so we looked it up. Match is okay. There was a lot of cage spots, you know, two big guys in a cage. I did like the superplex that Drew gave him from the top of the cage. To the floor. That suplex looked really good, but it wasn't the top, like it was like mid-range suplex, right? Not like from the top, but it was still very good. One thing about the announcers, other than Jesse Ventura, I'm talking about Michael Cole and Pat McAfee. Like, I guess Pat McAfee kind of does, but Cole is terrible at it. He just doesn't sell the finishers, man. Like, these finishers, you can tell they're going to kick out because of the enthusiasm that Cole has for the ones that he's going to kick out on. And then the other ones, like, you know, when the match is over, cause he gets really hyped and he knows it's the end, right? The announcers need to sell the finishers a lot better. JR used to do it, and JR did it perfectly. You would think the match is over when one of those finishers happen, and he'll make the impact of the finisher kicking out of somebody kicking out of the finisher like a lot more exciting. But like, Drew hits a claymore, and Michael Cole's just not selling it, man. He's just like, oh, he just hit him, 1-2, kick out. Like, sell the finisher, bro. sell the finisher. We can get more excited. But that's how you it's kind of like a nitpicky thing. It gets on my nerves. And they also like Damian Priest hit a claymore, and they didn't sell it at all. They were just like, hey, he just did a kick. Like he like hit the claymore, and we kind of just missed that. I can't put too much on Jesse Ventura. He's not a full time announcer right now. He's probably only coming for the main event, for the Saturday night main events, for one match. But I do enjoy his commentary. But later on, like WrestleMania 41 during the match, Drew McIntyre tried to set up like a chair and kick him through the chair to like finish him off like that. Priest did kick out, so that's when I knew Priest was winning the match. From there, but then what happened was Drew kicked out of another one of his Salve of Heaven finishers, and it was kind of crazy because like he just does a concerto and like the match just ends. He does it just like he hits it and then just walks out the ring like through the door, and Jesse Ventura just starts crashing out. He's just like, why can you just walk through the door in a cage match? Why not just go over the cage? And I can tell Jesse Ventura was not told to say that. I'm, you know, of course, because this is what we all have been thinking. That's one thing I hate about these cage matches is that door. Like, why can anybody just walk out the door? And I'm hoping like that was like made, like it made it to the back, and then Triple H is like, yeah, nobody, no more walking through the door. Everyone's got to climb the cage, because he just beats the shit out of him and just like walks out the door. So what's the point of climbing the cage? Just beat the shit out of somebody till you walk the fucking door. There's no point of climbing the cage. Well, there's no point of climbing the cage. I would just always go for opening the door. At least, yeah, they need to take that shit out. Take that shit out from the cage matches. It was a Vince thing, and it was stupid, and it shouldn't be there no more. But hopefully, Jesse Ventura's crash out will help, you know, that moving forward, because I think that killed the match. I think if you would have done the concerto, then just climbed out the cage, it would have been good. And a lot of people were kind of booing, but I thought it was the right decision to have Damian win. I think Damian needed that win. There are reports that Drew is going to be out for a little while. He's been getting injured throughout this whole feud. So give him some time off, man. He elevated this feud to more what it should have been. And yeah, give him a time off. But Priest is up. Who knows what they're going to do with Priest. I think he is a little bit more over than he was before the feud. So he's got he doesn't have huge momentum, but he's got a little bit of momentum going. So I think you can do something there. And that was pretty much about the match. Three. Most of these matches are getting threes at 2.5. I'll tell you that right now. By this time, so before the match started of the steel cage, I literally forgot the world title was on the line. I thought this was going to be the main event, until the backstage segment with John Cena and Jey Uso, and I was like, oh yeah, the world title is up tonight. I completely forgot. I'm like, I thought the steel cage was the main event, and then John Cena had that backstage with Uso, and I was like, oh shit. So so we go to the main event, right? We go to it's Jey Uso versus Logan Paul for world title, and so Jay does his entrance, and I guess now his gimmick, part of the gimmick, is that he's just grabbing a random kid from the crowd and having them yeet, do the little yeet thing. And let me get big, it's over, bro. That yeet shit is over. And the kid looked like he was having a fucking seizure. Like, he was out of sync, and then on top of that, like they showed him in the crowd again when he was going back home. He, like, I guess he was very excited. It looked like he was having a seizure with his parents or something. Other than that, Logan Paul comes out, and throughout the match, I'm thinking Logan Paul is very good. He's like an AEW wrestler on WWE with a name, and because he's very similar, you know, he has that one move that fucking one of the AEW guys have. I forgot his fucking name. The cowboy fucking guy. Yo, I'm sorry, but I completely forgot fucking his name. But he has Buckshot Lariat. The guy fucking Punk feud with. I completely forgot. I don't watch AEW as much as I used to. So I started to forget their names. He's very good. He's very athletic. He jumps around. He's very good high flyer. He's good. He's good in the ring. I thought this match was not as bad. I think Jay is getting a little bit more tolerable to watch in the ring. I do like his world title reign right now. I think it's better than Gunther's, and I don't know if it's better than Seth's first run, because Seth was just not dropping that title, but you knew Seth wasn't going to drop the title. It makes it seem like right now Jey Uso can drop the title at any time, and because you don't think he's going to have the title long. So if they do put it on, it was like a small glimmer of like doubt was like, hey, he's not winning the title tonight. I think they're putting it on Logan Paul. Especially when later in the match, you know, the match was okay. They have a match. Like I said, Logan Paul is just very good. He does very good springboard type moves. He hits that Buckshot Lariat a lot better than fucking, I can't fucking remember his name, but it is probably because I'm talking to, like, I'm pretty sure I'll remember, like, every time I think of Cowboy, I think of Cowboy Bob Orton. I don't know why, but Adam Page. There you go. So he does the Buckshot Lariat better than Adam Page, man. Like, he does. And this is, I start to forget when people are not over with me. I start to forget there's a lot of people I have to remember. So that's what happens. But I think he does a better Buckshot Lariat than Adam Page. And it's kind of fucked up that he took his move too. That's like, it used to be his finisher too. Now it's like his before finisher. You know, like how the Blue Thunder Bomb is like, it's just a move. It's not the finishing move. And yeah, it's like the mid finisher. And he's got like two. He's got the knockout punch. He's got that other DDT move that's been getting a little over. And he didn't use it. So I think they're having that move like come later, because what happens in the match, like I was like, all right, Jey Uso's taking it, and then John Cena comes and rips the referee off, and I'm like, oh, Jay's losing this match, and they're putting the belt on Logan Paul. So I'm like, all right, what's going on? I was a little bit off my feet. I was like, all right, let's see what happens. I'm a little excited. Was the ref down? Ref was down, because when the ref gets pulled from the ring, he's got to be out for like 10 minutes, bro. There's like one ref that oversells the actual hits, and he looks pretty good when he does it. And he looked like he could be out for 30 minutes. These other refs did just like fall out, and they're gone. They're gone for like 30 minutes. They're like, they're done. So John Cena does come in. He fucks up the match. And then we get Cody Rhodes return. And that was big. A lot of, they popped because no one was knowing if Cody Rhodes was going to make it in. They didn't think he would come out to help Jay. They thought he would probably come out to help R-Truth. So since he didn't come out for R-Truth, which is kind of a little fucked up. But he didn't come out for R-Truth. He came out for Jey Uso. So he's like, all right, Raw. You know, they used to be tag champions for like 2 months or a month. So that's fine. That's good that he did that. And then he cost Logan the match. And from there, that's it. And then he helped John Cena get off the ring. And he comes and he kind of just announces a match that's going later. I guess the reports were saying that was going to be John Cena and Travis Scott, but I guess it's John Cena and Logan Paul. That's a that's a strange team. But John Cena, Logan Paul versus Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso is going to be at Money in the Bank. So it's going to be a little tag match. The thing about this is that this is going to probably play out like that Zayn and Punk match. It's going to play. I feel like it's going to be similar like that. I think what they should, like I said, I think the booking should have went with John Cena versus Punk at Money in the Bank. But I guess the writers forgot that, you know, the Easter eggs are pretty fun for people. And they just decided to just do that at Money in the Bank. I think Money in the Bank is at a stadium too. So they want to get the main event guys in there and just do a tag team, which I'm hoping that's not the main event. I hope the main event is the actual Money in the Bank match, because it is just feels like a tag team match, and it's gonna play out just like the match earlier, where it's gonna be two main event guys. Oh no, all the guys in there are main event guys, and then somebody later is gonna come in and cost in the match, and this is probably going, or Cody might take out because you got to put Cody over, right? You can't have Cody just lose. And then this will probably push to their SummerSlam match, because I think that's where we're going. We're going for the rematch at SummerSlam. And I don't know if you put the belt back on Cody. We'll probably bring that up like next episode or something. Let's see how the promo goes, because he's got to cut like the promo of the year to kind of put himself back over as hot as he used to be on Monday, either Monday or Friday. I think they'll do it on Monday. That's kind of the big angle, because he did come in the world title match, so we'll see how that promo goes. But that was Saturday Night Main Event. I give that a match a 3 as well, probably a 2.5. That 3, I think it was probably the better match of the night. And the thing about it, they had to rush. So they started the match literally 9 minutes before 10 o'clock. And they threw a fucking ad in there too, which was, I told you, like the ads in this special, whatever it is, it was fucking insane. Like they would just throw, like they threw an ad 5 minutes before the match was done. Like no, 2 or 3 minutes into the match. And the match was like at most 9 minutes. It's a 9 minute match. And it seemed like they had to rush everything. They had to rush the angles. They had to rush a lot of things to just beat by 10. And that's the thing about Saturday Night Main Event. You have to do all these things to get it to be done exactly at 10. So it looks like they had to cut it short. So who knows what happens, right? So, but regardless, average show is very skippable. And then whatever happens on Raw, it's probably going to move everything more forward. If you know, this comes out Monday for you guys, so I might as well just say tonight on Raw, we'll see what happens. But other than that, the show was just average. It wasn't too much. What's funny is, I'll go a little off topic, but no, kind of stay on topic. So the Wise 91.1 channel, trying to keep up with all the other like news outlets, it's crazy because, you know, it's like, hey, it's like a race, but not really a race because we're still starting up. You know, this is like episode 4, right? So we're still in the beginning phases of everything. So it's just like, man, like it really is like the Wild Wild West out there for things like that, right? And I do appreciate the people that have been kind of engaging and reacting and everything. It's getting better by the day. Like, we've only been getting better. We haven't been getting worse, which is something I love. And, you know, that's what's going to keep me very motivated to keep doing this, right? It's always getting better, and I appreciate you guys for making it get better. And, you know, that was it for Saturday Night Main Event. I kind of want to jump to the next topic and kind of get, it's going to kind of coincide with this, and it's going to talk about just the recent low ratings WWE's been getting. It's kind of been in the news cycle, and they're getting low ratings, but the thing is, around this time of year, it should be low ratings. they're not, it's not as exciting as like WrestleMania, and there's a little bit of holes in Triple H's booking. People are starting to notice. So that's very important. It's not just like, I mean, they're making a lot of money, bro. Those tickets fucking prices are off the fucking roof. They're making a lot of money, bro. They're making a lot of money. But the low ratings is just like, just people, just the TV talks and everything, just people watching the product. And it's not super low, right? I think it's just low in their realm of low. It's not like AEW is pretty low right now. Like, I think they're going a little bit up, but they were regularly 1,900,000. There was a point they were regularly in the 900s and 800s, and now they're like regularly in the 600s. So it's different for WWE because they stay in the millions. There is reports that like the Netflix people aren't watching, like they're not cracking like a million live. And they're cracking, the only time they crack over a million is when people do the playbacks and the watchbacks. And I'll tell you right now, it's not really them in that situation, but it kind of is. It's more along the lines that after, most people have noticed that after you watch, when you watch Raw after, when it's not live, there's no ads. So the ads are very like, they get in the way. They just do. Like it, that's why PLEs are so much more important, because like there's not a lot of ads. The ads are like after the match, but during the match, people can just tune out. So that's what's happening. The ads are kind of, they're kind of straying away people watching, but because some people just, I watch for some of the matches. Most people, most casuals like watching, they watch for the angles, man. They watch for the story. They watch for the angles. Their core fan base isn't like the AEW core fan base, where the core fan base for AEW are just watching the cool shit that happens in the matches. The core fan base for WWE are just like angles. And that's the best part, right? I do believe that's more of that. That just makes more money and it draws more, right? I think you have the best of both worlds with these two different companies. And if they just mix both of them together, which SmackDown's starting to get like that. I said this before, that SmackDown's becoming more of like the angles are kind of weak, but the wrestling is good. And then Raw's the other way around. Like the wrestlings are okay because some of the matches are pretty fun to watch. And then the angles are hot. So, but the low ratings, I do think it's just people tuning off during the ads. During the matches, I think people are tuning off, and we're at a point where the big storylines aren't hitting yet. I think that's what's gonna happen in June and July, because whatever SummerSlam is, I think SummerSlam's in August. That July month is gonna be hot, bro. I feel like that July month is gonna be hot. They have two nights for SummerSlam. They gotta start building now, so I think things are gonna kick up. They haven't really been putting a story to the Money in the Bank matches. They're just grabbing people to just get the title. There was one person who put over the Money in the Bank. I think, oh, it was Miz on SmackDown. He put over the Money in the Bank pretty well. He's like, yo, this can change your life, dude. So I do like that he did that. And it was very, you know, hopefully the enjoyment part of this starts kicking up around June, July. I think May has always been a slow month for wrestling, because it's just the high of WrestleMania, and then we kind of have to bring everything back down to a level, and then we have to start building everything up. So that's what's kind of going on there. That's my thoughts on the low ratings. I think they're going to be kicking back up, and as long as those ticket prices are extremely high and they're making a lot of money, it doesn't matter. Ratings don't matter. They do, but Not like those ticket prices. I guess I'll cover this real quickly. They're doing NXT Europe, which was, they make another brand. It's another off NXT brand, NXT Europe. And they had this before with NXT UK, and then it got canceled. So now they're doing it again. I guess because it's Europe and UK, I guess they want to make it like more broader, but NXT Europe is coming. That's it. I don't see that lasting too long. And that's what it is there. This has been going like so this next set of news, this has been kind of going on all weekend, and it's talking about WrestleMania. WrestleMania 42 was going to be in New Orleans this the next year. WrestleMania was going to be pretty much where they had the Super Bowl last year. It's in the same stadium. And then out of nowhere, they announced that it's not happening in New Orleans anymore. So that entire big ass entrance that The Rock came out of to Lil Wayne's The Block Is Hot. Was it The Block Is Hot? He came out to one Lil Wayne song, and he, you know, put over the city. He put over the city, bro. All for nothing, because WrestleMania is not even happening there. Not even happening there. He just put over that city for no reason. And then I guess New Orleans is getting Money in the Bank next year in that stadium. So there's reports that there was a huge bid for WrestleMania that was first like said, and everyone thought like, hey, Saudis are getting it, bro. It's gonna be WrestleMania Saudi Arabia. They were thinking like, you know, the Prince is a mark, bro. So he's probably like, hey, what's your TV deal? I'll give you double that just to have this at WrestleMania. But nah, it ended up being, well, the reports are saying that it's gonna probably be in Vegas again. The thing is, the Vegas WrestleMania was kind of stupid. It was not the place, just the card. The card was underwhelming. I think WrestleMania 41 wasn't a good card. So, but they did make a lot of money in Vegas. So I'm guessing like they're just like, hey, we're gonna do a better chance. I'm thinking somebody in the creative was just like, hey, they want to erase 41 from existing or something. They want to be like, hey, they came back to Vegas and they put on a better show. I think that's what they're trying to do. Someone's ego probably got struck and they're like, put it back in Vegas. Let's try this again. But then again, they love money, bro. So they're saying they made a lot of money. And they think they can make more money this year. And they can, because if they made a lot of money with an extremely underwhelming card, with a very good card, they can make a lot of cash. So, and then also TKO's own, you know, they own the UFC, so I think they're trying to make Vegas like one of the main hubs for something. And it seems like hopefully they don't go to WrestleMania every year. They seem like they want to go to WrestleMania in Vegas every couple of years. And that's fine. That's fine. But that's what's happening. No, I don't think they disclose where it's happening yet. The rumors are going around in Vegas, and then there's a rumor going around that they've been given an extremely big lump sum of money to be like, hey, do it here. Everyone thinks it's Saudi Arabia, but look, Saudi Arabia's in the Royal Rumble is getting was gonna you know Saudi Arabia is getting the Royal Rumble. So do you give them the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania? I don't think so. I'm kind of like curious where would they have it, right? They would probably have it maybe Los Angeles. It's got to be a big city. Maybe they go Wembley. Maybe they go outside. Who knows? Who knows? But here's what I believe. I think if you're going to, if you don't do it in New Orleans, you do it in New York. Why not? Do it in New York. You do it in Philadelphia, maybe, or you do it at you do it in Wembley. Beat the record. Why not? They want to like, oh, we don't have the biggest record gate. Beat the record gate, bro. And that's what it is, what it is. And then they'll have to like retcon all their little fake little numbers though. But that's where I believe they should have it at. I'm gonna talk about a little bit probably SmackDown. I don't think we need to talk too much about it. not much that happened. And like since we talked about Saturday Night Main Event, we don't really have to get too much into it. So for SmackDown, I have a couple notes. They're kind of still continuing the Money in the Bank thing. I have they you know, Priest and Drew, they did the hotshot match, but I'm not gonna talk about anything that already like got blown off on Saturday Night Main Event. I'm still wondering why Tiffany Stratton's a babyface when she's got a heel persona, but the fans keep thinking she's a babyface. It's funny, but at the same time, it's frustrating because I think like they're just not taking this shit seriously. The fucking marks in the crowd, bro. I can't stand them, bro. It's like, all right, well, let's just cheer the heels. I hate it so much. It's so funny, but it is what it is. Alexa Bliss starts coming to the ring and they pop, bro. They pop for Alexa Bliss. And she's got the stupid fucking doll again. And I'm like, here we go. They need to just get rid of the doll. Please don't bring the doll back. I remember the doll, like, doing something during the ring. It was very stupid. It was just dumb. And they should keep it away. And it seems too Vincey. Too Vincey. The Supernatural, I hope they don't go super Supernatural. They do something later on and I'll talk about it. But she brung the doll and she's kind of putting over the Money in the Bank. She's putting herself a little over too. And then Charlotte comes in, and Charlotte's the biggest heel in the business right now. She gets a lot of fucking boos. She just gets heat, bro. And I like when she's a heel because people just literally, genuinely, the marks don't like her. So it's good that she has it. She has that Ric Flair type heat, and it's good. But that later on, that's gonna get her more over, bro. It's gonna get her more over. She beats she's probably gonna win it 18 times. I think she wins. I think they put the record on her later on as she gets older. And then she's still great in the ring too. And she comes out and she puts herself over too, saying, you know, this and this, and she's gonna go after Tiffany Stratton's belt. Everyone wants the belt, right? So, Julia does come in, and they're about to start the triple threat, and Alexa just disappears, and Tiffany Stratton just, you know, she like leaves, and she gets like the last word in, and then the crowd, you know, they like to cheer her. But after all that, that's when Julia comes in, and I'm glad they moved Julia to SmackDown. She looks like a star again. She doesn't feel like she's part of just this tag team that just doesn't make sense. She was already a star coming in, and then they have her kind of looking like a star again. I talked about this in Saturday Night's Main Event. Zelina's just not getting over. She's getting little small pops, and they need to turn her heel. I started wondering why she was in the match, if she was going to take the pinfall. It made no sense at all. It really did. They should have just had someone else. They could have had Zelina. They could have had an angle with Zelina and Chelsea Green and just put it on and have, like, the card get put together. But it made no sense. But the crowd started – at one point in the match, the crowd started yelling, like, they want tables. And Charlotte, being a good heel, started playing into it. And it made her more it got her a little bit more heat, and that's what's good, right? I like when she's a heel. At the end, Julia does win the match. I thought that was a pretty good match too. Like I said, there's two of them in there that are good in ring. Zelina was just there. She started getting a little bit good, but then like she just lost momentum. And then Julia does pin Zelina, so she pins the champion. So you just bury your champion like that. So it's fine, right? So we see Zelina not having the belt too much longer. Even though she won a Saturday Night's Main Event, she's losing the next feud. Unless they turn her heel. Later on, we get into the tag match. The tag team, not the tag match. The tag team kind of circle, like vortex. And it's Tommaso Ciampa versus Chris Sabian. From the Motor City Machine Guns, and I feel like I never heard that DIY theme before. It might be a new theme, or maybe I've just always missed it, or maybe they always do the entrances during an ad and I don't remember. But I think Ciampa and Chris were having a great match. They were having an amazing match. I think both of them are good in the ring. And I do like the everyone in that tag team division for SmackDown is very good. They're all good workers, bro. They all can put on exciting matches. I do like they're kind of like that the in ring they're very good, but the angles are a little strange, but in ring they're fantastic. And the match happens. Tommaso Ciampa, he does something really, really good and really heelish. I think he pretends to hurt his knee, and once it makes it look real. I knew it wasn't real. I did think for a split second it was, but then I was like, the way it happened on the top rope, I was like, someone's going to come and cost him. And Candice LeRae makes her debut with the DIY in the main roster. And this is perfect, right? The DIY has been slowly getting over. So throw that, and they've been building DIY pretty good, right? They've built him pretty well. And they're getting over. That's what it is. I kind of have a theory of something later on. Well, now that I talked about it, it kind of sparked a little idea in my head. And that's what happened. We already talked about the Drew Priest thing, what happened on Saturday Night Main Event. I think they're cutting too fast to the next segments when these things happen too. So once Candice LeRae got into DIY, they cut to the segment like fast as hell. It was like a solo. It was like the Bloodline back in the backstage and they're talking. I think Solo's getting over with me again. I think he's very good on them. He's getting very good talker. Like he's getting good at talking. He's improving. I think he is improving. I think the role he's got right now is really good. Fatu is getting over with the crowd, over with the business. Like he's very good in ring and he's good talker, and he's got that fire that the mid card belt needs, right? He's a United States champion, and he feels like a United States champion. He feels like a champion. He feels like the world champion, but with the mid-card belt. So that's kind of what you want to have. The next segment, Chelsea Green and her like minions, they fight B-Fab and Meechan, and people are cheering Chelsea Green, and that's all I have. The match just happened. The match was there. It just happened, bro. The main event is happening. No, they're pushing the main event. Street Profits are in the back. They cut very good promos. I've already said that the Street Profits are very over with me, and they cut very good promos. And then Fatu and the Bloodline come in during the promo, and they go to their match. It's Rey Fénix and Jey Uso and Cobb and Fatu, and Uso and Fénix. The match was very fun. Fénix is very he's starting to get a little bit more exciting again. I like the way they did the camera angles during the match, and Fénix is very good. He did a very, very, very nice looking crossbody springboard to the outside of the ring on the guys. At the end, they put JC Mateo, that's his name. JC Mateo, they put him over by him pinning Jimmy, and then I guess like Cobb and Fatu, just because he's saying he doesn't trust him. And, you know, they put him in a tag match and they win. So, like, now the trust is being established. So, I do like where the Bloodline story is going. I like that it's, you know, it's the mid-card. It's going to start holding together the mid-card guys. Then it goes to a promo with LA Knight in the back. And LA Knight cuts a very, very good old-school promo, man. He needs to be champion. I think he should be the one to dethrone John Cena. And I keep saying it, but we'll get there when we get there. John Cena needs to look unstoppable when he takes out Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam. We already talked about the R-Truth thing, so we can skip that. Next was the Money in the Bank between Shinsuke, LA Knight, and Aleister Black. I like Shinsuke's entrance. I feel like I never saw it, the new one. It's very good. He's got like the samurai suit and the music is fantastic. I do like his entrance theme. Hope they don't change it. And it was a good match. LA Knight comes in. LA Knight wins. There's not a big review that needs to happen. Aleister Black kicks Shinsuke Nakamura and then gets thrown out the ring to pin Shinsuke. For LA Knight, just pin Shinsuke. So that's what happens there. And LA Knight wins. That's it. I do like the next segment. I do like when Miz puts over the Money in the Bank. He's like, hey, listen, the Money in the Bank shot me to the moon. I became champion and I main evented WrestleMania. And he was putting over how important the Money in the Bank should be. I think the Money in the Bank is exactly what he's saying. It's kind of how you get the mid-carder to the main event. And it's always been a very good concept for the last 20 years, right? The matches are always phenomenal, most of them. They're very fun matches. They should close out the show for Money in the Bank. But Miz was putting it over, and because Carmelo Hayes is going to be in the triple threat next week, and so is Fatu. Well, then we go to the main event. It's Fraxium versus Street Profits, and I think Fraxium has probably the worst entrance I've ever seen in wrestling history, and the fucking music was terrible. I've already talked about how weird the fucking tag team is. It's just a guy with a mask and just some fucking dude, and I think in ring they're great. It's just the team of them is fucking odd. And their theme and their entrance was fucking odd. That's what it is. Like, the theme song was really cringy. And the entrance was weird. They came out to some smoke, and the camera was just fixated, just fixed, looking straight. It was just looking straight, just fixed. And then they get off the screen and they're trying to present them to look like superheroes. And it's stupid. It's very stupid. But the Street Profits come. Street Profits are over with me. I love them as a tag team champions. They're very over with me. They're a very good tag team. The announcer is getting better. I think that's my favorite announcer so far. He's got this kind of talk that he goes like this. And the world champion, and he talks like this. It's getting over with me now. I told you guys, I can't stand Alicia Taylor. It's like announcing. But this guy is getting over with me. So we'll see what happens as we go forward. The match was great. Of course, like I said, even though the team for Axiom is very odd, I do think they are very, very exciting to watch at the end. And the match was very good until it goes to a DQ. And we talked about this two episodes ago about how the Wyatt Six were going to come into TV. And I have no idea why they came for the tag team match. I just don't see it. I thought they were going to kind of put Alexa together with them, and they just come at the end of the match. And it was Bray Wyatt's birthday, so I like the cake in the middle and blowing it out. Rest in peace, Bray Wyatt. You know, this team would have been over like crazy if he was alive. But more supernatural things. They just appear in the ring. The lights go out, so they've got somebody in the producer truck who works for them. And they just come in the ring, and that's what happens. I hate that they came into the tag team picture. I guess is probably because one of the Wyatts, one of the faction members, does have beef, should have beef with DIY. So that's probably the only thing I can see happening. But everything else, they should have came like during an Alexa Bliss like match or something like next week. I just don't get it. But that was SmackDown. We kind of just ran through it. It wasn't going to be too much I needed to say on it because of Saturday Night's Main Event already happened. So that's what it was. And SmackDown's just feeling like filler. I can't wait till it goes to 2 hours. Okay. That's what it is. So that's our wrestling segment. There's nothing really else going on at wrestling right now unless it's happening on Monday or after I record this. If it does, we'll touch on it on Tuesday. Double or Nothing is today. So maybe I'll watch that and we'll review it. This will be the first AEW show I watch for about 6 months. So we'll find it. That's all I gotta say. But other than that, I think we're good on wrestling topics, and we can continue going forward. We're gonna go into music. Well, not even music. Let's have our thoughts about this Kid Cudi testifying in court. Did he blow up his car? And that's the story's nuts in itself already. And the Diddy trial is still happening. They're getting everybody they can to prove that this guy is dangerous. And like I said, I think I've said this in the first episode. I think Diddy should go to prison. I think he's done some crazy shit. I think he needs to go to prison for something that they're not charging him for. They probably have like a murder on him or something. Like, I think he has killed people. Like, maybe not. Maybe he hasn't. Maybe, you know, we're talking too much. I do believe maybe he has taken care of people. And with the Kid Cudi case, it's more proving that he probably has. In the case, they were saying Kid Cudi and Cassie had a relationship. And I think it was public anyway. Of course, Diddy got jealous and found wind of this. I guess he never knew. And then he went to Cudi's house, moved the cameras, supposedly. If I'm saying this wrong, you guys can look it up. But I'm more than positive that's what happened. He said. And there was a tomahawk thrown into his car. And it pretty much set his car on fire. Kid Cudi said that possibly Cassie did know that this was going to happen. So I still think two people are involved in all these criminal acts, but one person is getting prosecuted. But prosecute that man too. You know, the universe will take care of people the way they're supposed to be taken care of. And, Diddy should go to prison. I think, just in general, I don't like the things he has done that we've seen on camera, and I've already talked about in episode 2. If you want to go back and take a look at that there. Kid Cudi does say that Diddy comes back later and says, hey sorry about blowing your car up, like that was some bullshit of me. Hey, I tried to kill you, man. I apologize. Can we go? Yeah. It was a bullshit of me. Like, that's kind of nuts. So majority, that's mainly what the everyone was talking about during the case. Maybe we'll cover it more on Tuesday, but that's kind of my thoughts on Kid Cudi and Diddy. You know, just put Diddy in prison already. We're kind of, they have something on him, and I think they're just delaying this to go further so they can smack him with the big one. Pause. They can just smack him with the big like knockout. And then Kid Cudi, you know, comes in. He said it was funny. Kid Cudi said he, after like the car blew up, Diddy just
the next time he saw Diddy, Diddy was just looking at him like a Marvel villain. And that kind of popped me a little bit. It was funny. So that's my thoughts on it there. Not too much happening in that case. But another thing that happened, we're going to go more along lines into music other than just pop culture. Joey did end up winning the West Coast and East Coast battle. That's great to hear. Me as a New Yorker. And, well, I live in Florida now. Yeah, I do live in Florida, guys. But me as a person who's born in New York, I do like when East Coast people win. So I also hope the Knicks take it home. So I'm glad. Good for Joey. He is saying an album's coming in August. So you take this momentum that you have and then build it up. And then if the album does come out, here's what you do. You send some more shots. You send some more shots at Kendrick. And you, during that album, you have to have some heat. You have to have a smash. Because after that, then you have your smash hit that goes to number one. And it calls somebody out. And then we have a feud. Because that's how Like That became number one, if you guys don't remember. Like That did make it number one. So you get some heat, bro. You get it playing. Probably, I know New York is probably going to find the heat in there. And they're going to get things going. So, you know, I'm glad he did what he did. It was very, very, very good. Daylight did end up bowing out at the end. He put like the end credits. So after the end credits, nobody should have rapped after. But Joey did end up winning that battle. I think the consensus just kind of came together. And, you know, just know that New York is up right now. But not in basketball. But New York is up in music. And that's kind of it there. For music, there is one more thing. I guess we can talk about it. We'll talk about something in music, and then we'll talk about two things in films. One of the things in films is going to go with some wrestling news, too. Kanye West says that he doesn't want to be anti-Semitic no more. He's done with the Nazi gimmick. And I think this one was very controversial run. He's done a lot of things. He's kind of like a pro wrestler. He changes his gimmick a lot. You know, he was the asshole. He was the very conscious rapper when he came out. Well, you know, producer that was doing conscious rap when he came out. He turned to an asshole later. That was that gimmick. Then he got more of an asshole. That was the next gimmick. You know, every album he has a new gimmick. And then there was one, he was the artsy guy, he was the fashion guy. Just into music, the love, you know, the 808s. He always has a gimmick, right? Even the church, that church album, the gospel album, he was just God loving. And then the next gimmick was him just being anti-Semitic as fuck. And I think it's not clicking with most of the audience. And he's just like, all right, this gimmick is going too far. And that's what it is. Sometimes you have to know, like, that's just what he does. He always has a new gimmick. And I think he's done doing that gimmick, and we're going to get some other shit now. But the anti-Semitic Kanye West run is over. It was a funny run, and that's it. Let's see what the next tale brings. Let's see what his next album brings. And we'll see what's going on with there. And that's kind of it with music. It's Sunday. Albums that came out, I did hear a little bit of the T-Grizzly album. I didn't finish it, but it did sound good in the beginning. So maybe we'll have a better and more takes on Tuesday. But that's what it is there. I do want to talk about real quick why Roman Reigns is Akuma from Street Fighter. there's rumors going around that Roman Reigns is going to be Akuma, and that makes absolutely no sense. So that's my film take. I don't know why you think it's very interesting, right? Because I don't see how that can happen. Roman Reigns could be Akuma, and Akuma's got like red hair. He looks like a Super Saiyan with red hair, and he's big and evil. I think someone's just trolling. I don't think that's really happening. And if it does happen, we'll talk about it. But I don't see Roman Reigns being Akuma. No, I just don't. He probably went to go for a role. And if he goes for the role, he gets it. He better smoke it. But I don't believe that. There was a movie theater that collapsed during Final Destination. I think that's pretty ironic. And that's all I got to say for that. It was a, movies called Final Destination where crazy shit happens. And then you're in the movie theater watching Final Destination, and some Final Destination shit happens in the movie theater. That's some other things, right? So, I do have a topic, and we'll probably end it off with this one here. I went on a big rant about Disney, and if you want, go check that out. I talk about more about Disney and their live actions, a little bit of Marvel. And I guess now Marvel has delayed Doomsday, and Marvel has delayed the Secret Wars to a couple months for each film. So Doomsday was going to come out May 2, 2026. It's now coming out in December. And Secret War is coming out December 2027, and it was supposed to come out May 2027. I think one thing the film industry needs to stop doing is putting dates before the movie's done. I think they should just finish the movie and then announce a date. It's very, very stupid when they do that, because it never ends up being what they always say it's going to be. So the film industry just needs to start learning. Doomsday was supposed to be Kang's Dynasty, and then Jonathan Majors decided to just smack bitches, so that he got taken out. So now they had to pivot, and they put in Robert Downey Jr. to be Dr. Doom, and they're gonna revolve Dr. Doom, the movie around Dr. Doom, and I'm guessing the Fantastic Four is gonna be involved in everything. And these Avenger movies aren't getting built too strongly. I don't think people are caring as much. But I do think that next year people are going to catch up. Now that the Avengers movie is going to come out, I do believe people will start watching all the Avenger movies that are going to lead up to the Doomsday one. Or they're going to watch it before Secret Wars. But I do think with all the shows and everything, there's just too much to catch up on. And they should have just kept it movies and specials instead of actual TV shows. But Disney wants that money, bro. They want that money. So who cares? They're just like, hey, just stretch all these things out until we get something. And it's been like 6-7 years since the last Avengers movie. So let's see what happens. Listen, if the movie got pushed back, it's because something's not done, and hopefully they fix up some things that need to be fixed up. Because those movies are going to be probably the biggest box office hits that Disney not needs, but Disney like sort of needs to get back the Marvel fans. I think Marvel's been slipping up too much, and it just doesn't feel exciting. So because you want these Avenger movies to be good. This is what everything's leading to, these Avenger movies. So these Avengers movies need to, like, that, especially the Doomsday one, has to be good. It has to be good. If Doomsday flops, then the rest of the Marvel movies will flop, other than Spider-Man. But I think now Spider-Man's coming out first, but then that's probably going to be delayed. So unfortunately for the Marvel fans that are very, very excited about next year, you gotta wait a little longer. I'm sorry, guys. Blame Disney for announcing things too soon, and that's what it is. But that's kind of all the things that are happening. The weekend was mainly just filled with Saturday Night Main Event things. There's not really anything that happened in gaming, so unfortunately, there's no big things I've got to talk about gaming. And that's kind of it for this episode. I told you guys this episodes are going to come out Monday and Thursdays. So let's see what happens during the week, because, you know, last 2 weeks have been just during the week. Most of the big things have been coming out through the week. I did get something. You never know. Maybe there's a topic that kind of popped up, but nope, there's no, nope. So nothing new is happening right now. And that's going to be kind of the episode. You guys got a review for Saturday Night Main Event, which was kind of the main thing I wanted to talk about. And then that's it. So everything is on Spotify. Everything is on Apple now. The show is up. So if you guys want to take a look and listen to, and you don't really want to watch it on YouTube, you can also listen to us on streaming platforms. Just a quick plug before we get off here. The Patreon is finally up. I finally got the email back, and they allowed me to upload videos. So the first 3 episodes are going to be up. This one should be up as well. It's going to be up here. It's going to be up first, but start moving forward. Patreon episodes are going to be at 6, should be up by 6 p.m. on Sundays and Wednesdays at 6 p.m. YouTube will get them at 12 p.m. and streaming platforms will get them probably at 2. But there will be, I will be putting out clips until, like, I'll put out some clips first. So in case you guys just want to watch clips, or the clips will be later after. So it all depends which one I finish first, because I can always put up the broadcast first. So hopefully, you know, we're going to get more content coming onto the YouTube channel, and we're going to get more content, way more content on the Patreon as well. So take a look at there. Right now, it's only $1.99, the only tier I have on Patreon right now, and that gives you the first access to the show. So you guys will get it at 6 p.m. And you guys, if you guys are at work and you guys are bored and you want to hear some topics that we go on, you guys don't have to wait all the way till 12 p.m. You guys can just listen to it real early in the morning, or probably the night before, or overnight. And hopefully we make everything, at least something, go faster. But other than that, guys, this is pretty much the news and talk for today. The middle of the week for the next episode, I will have more topics as opposed to just news, and we're building more. So as I do more episodes, I'm going to start adding more things, more segments and everything. So just hold on, guys. We're getting better as we keep going, but this is episode 4. This is episode 4, and that's all I got for you guys right now, unfortunately. So let's keep it going. Let's keep it going up. Let's keep things happening, and check out all the things we do. Follow us. Follow us on X, Wise91.1. Follow us on Facebook, Wise91.1. Subscribe to the YouTube, 91.1, Wise91.1. Check out the description. It's going to have all those things. But other than that, I'll see you guys in the next episode, or probably on X, crashing out. So I'll see you guys later, and have a good one. Yep.